There's an ode, one of the older hymns that we tend not to sing so much these days, but it's called Love's Redeeming Work is Done. Love's Redeeming Work is Done. And that is the nature and the truth about the resurrection. All that was necessary was achieved both on the cross and as a result of the resurrection. The redemption of us as individuals, but also of the whole world, and indeed God's creation. Jesus was in the act of redeeming the world unto God as he went about that work, that precious work on the cross, and on the third day when he was raised, vindicated. All of those things sets us free, and it's a superb, wonderful, joyful message that we need to receive for ourselves. The truth about this story, of course, and if you read all of the Gospels, actually there wasn't a great deal of belief around at the resurrection moment. At the time at which the people, in this instance, the women went to the tombs, they had no real belief that what Jesus had promised actually would come true. They turned up in expectation only to do one thing, which was to continue by actually preparing his body for burial. Of course, he'd already been buried, but they'd gone away after the crucifixion to prepare spices to embalm his body. But things got rushed because of Passover, and so he was buried very quickly, because it would be against the Jewish law to be involved with a dead body at the time of Passover. So the quickest and the best way to deal with that was to have him buried, and then they'd go afterwards. And so they turn up on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. I'm very pleased that we've managed to keep Sundays. These days when you get calendars, sometimes they start on Monday. It really makes me cross. First day of the week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. Not much expectation, not much belief in what Jesus had said. And one of the things I find wonderful about that is that God can work where there's actually unbelief. We think it all depends on us. Actually, it all depends on him. And sometimes when we do not have the strength or the faith to believe, God still works in extraordinary ways. And here he was. God was bringing about the most wonderful act ever, raising the dead, buried Lord Jesus Christ from the tomb. And so as they went to embalm his body, to do the work that they'd hoped to do, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But the body of Jesus was not there. And that's the truth. You can go to Jerusalem today, into the garden tomb, and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And people like to go into the tomb where it is thought that Jesus may have been laid. But on the entrance says, he is not here. He is risen. And we're here today because that's the foundation of our belief. We wouldn't be here today if that was not true. Very important that we understand that this has to be true, or else there would be no point in us gathering here. The Christian faith wouldn't have got off the ground. It would never have happened. But it is true, thanks be to God. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we also find is that God is very gracious on that day. So, first of all, they saw two men in white apparel, in white clothing, which made the women fall to their knees, which is not surprising. They were fearful of what they saw. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember." We are very fortunate that someone has taken the trouble to tell us the good news about Jesus Christ. And we carry that story within us. It's a part of who we are. And we do remember. We remember, for instance, at the Lord's Supper. We remember all those things. The way in which he died. but also the glorious way in which God raised him from the dead. Against all the odds, nobody would have believed it. Nobody did believe it, but he did it. God raised him from the dead. That's why we're here today. And we remember in a number of ways. We remember as we commune with him in fellowship around the Lord's table, which we will do in a while. We remember through the breaking of bread. The whole story comes together around that holy table. We also remember as we meet with each other in Christian fellowship. And the early church needed each other so much because it would have been not an easy thing to have survived those early days without each other and without the presence of the Lord Jesus with them. And as we celebrate this morning, we're mindful of the awful events in Sri Lanka and, you know, the atrocities that's been committed there, not just against Christians, but a large number of Christians who are worshipping and thanking God for the truth of the resurrection. The early Christians, too, would have known what it would be to mean to be persecuted because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the main, we don't have that problem. It's not something that generally affects us. I think it's under the surface. People may ridicule us, but I guess we can cope with that. That's not too bad, is it really? But what we mustn't allow to happen is to allow apathy to set in into our hearts. And just, we need to remember the cost of all of this. Not to us, but to our Lord. That he went to the cross and he died for us. And that on the third day he was raised to life again. Remember these things. Remember them when actually life isn't as rosy as perhaps some days it used to be. Remember it. And you will find a strength from within that will come from the presence of Christ in you. Remember that this, what Jesus said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised. Then they remembered those words. We too need to actively remember these things in our lives all the time. The next thing that we're told that they had to do was to go and tell other people. So they went and told the 11. They had to go and tell the 11. It's very interesting. It didn't say the 12 because of course Judas had already hung himself. But they went back and told the 11. And there's lots of stories in the Gospels where both Jesus and others went around making sure that people realized that it was true, that he is alive. And it is a most extraordinary tale to tell. Unfortunately, we're told that they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Nothing to do with gender here. They just thought it was a very odd story. A very odd story indeed. Even though they'd been prepared for the moment, they still didn't quite grasp it. But Peter, he got up and ran to the tomb. He ran to the tomb to see what had happened. He bends over and he looks in and he saw just the strips of linen lying by themselves. And then he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Hadn't quite gone in at that point. We have the benefit of hindsight. The stories are here for us to read, which we have done today. They did not. But they were not rejected because of that. And of course, the message and the hope of this wonderful resurrection story gradually embedded itself into those disciples' hearts and others, and the church flourished and grew and of course became a bit of a risk to the Roman occupation at that particular time eventually. But this story is for the redemption of the world. Yes, it's for me and it's for you as individuals, that you might come to know the saving love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not just alive then after his resurrection, but is alive now. That penny needs to drop too, that he's alive in me and I am alive in him. It's both. He's in me, I am in him. And he's bringing about that redeeming work in my life and in your life too, as you give your life to him. There's that part of the redemption which takes away the sin that separates us from God. And there's that other part of the redemptive work of God, where he's sanctifying. It's a religious word, but it just means to make us right with God, sanctifying us gradually, changing us from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. That's a process that takes time, because I'm a human being like all of you, and we make mistakes, and God is still working on me, and I trust he's still working on you too. That's a part of the redemptive purposes of God. But I think he's doing it in the world too, and he wants to do it for the whole of his creation. He loves his creation, and what a fantastic and beautiful day it has been, and so far is today. He loves his creation and grieves over what we do to his creation. But one day it will be made whole again. There will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth, and a new me, and a new you, because we will be made alive again in him forever, reigning with him in glory. That's something to look forward to. We have the now bit. He's doing some work in me and you, which makes things right between me and him, and hopefully those with whom we live our lives. But there's the not yet bit, the bit we get glimpses of now and again. But there's so much more to look forward to in God. And this, 2,000 years ago, was just the beginning of that event, that story, that hope, that desire for each and every one of us was beginning to be fulfilled on the first day of the week, 2,000 years ago. And for some people, this will seem like nonsense. It doesn't make sense. I can't believe in the resurrection and all those things. I cannot believe that this has happened. Well, no, and it's hard to believe. It's even harder to believe that he's alive in me and he's alive in you. But you need to believe it. It is true. It has happened. We look forward to the complete redemption of his world. But he has done, Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary to make redemption a reality right now. And all we have to do is say yes to him and accept him into our lives. And all that should be left in our old lives is just, as you look back, as you say yes to Jesus Christ, I want to follow him. You notice that all that was left in the tomb was the strips of cloth, no body. That's the bit we leave behind. That's the bit of us that we just leave behind in the tomb, because it's gone. The person that I was, I am not now. I am a new person in Jesus Christ. He is my Saviour. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. So let's be still for a moment as we reflect upon that.